Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by both Chris Woodward and Steve Jordahl. Great time hearing Dr. Alex McFarlane in the last segment. I do want to kind of update our listeners. We talked in the first segment, pretty much the entire first segment, about the ouster of Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker. I did want to note that Fox News is reporting that Jim Jordan has announced his bid for the Speaker position, the Republican from Ohio. So we will continue to follow that. That is a big story for conservatives, what happens in the House. So we will continue to update people. But now Jim Jordan, House Judiciary Chairman, the Republican from Ohio, announced that he is running for that Speaker position. So we will see how that plays out. All right, Steve.
Yes, sir.
We're going to go to you because former President Donald Trump is in day three of the fraud trial in Manhattan. This is the prosecution from the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, I think. Is that her name?
Yes.
Okay. And there's been, and we've talked about this week, a controversy over the presiding judge, Arthur Engoron. I made the comment that it's a perfect villain name. Sounds like the brother of Sauron in The Lord of the Rings. I got a lot of laughs on that comment. Unfortunately, none were from people in studio. But I could sense that out in the listening audience, people were doubled over that comment. But what's the latest?
Well, let me play Tim Wildman here, if I may. You're fired. No.
Yes.
Donald Trump is in court, and the charges are that he exerted fraud. This is in New York City, by overestimating his worth when he's taking bank loans out. He denies it, of course, but he's in his third day of a $250 million civil suit, so this won't land him in jail, but it could cost him a lot of money. As you say, the judge there is Judge Arthur Engoron. And this happened today. He was they were cross-examining a witness, and the witness, they were trying to attack his credibility. Engoron stepped in the middle of the cross-examination to remind Trump and his attorneys, there's no jury here. You don't have to play to a jury. What he's really saying is, I have made up my mind. Folks, I guarantee that Trump will be convicted of these charges, whether or not he's guilty. He will be convicted.
The fix is in.
I want you to hear the judge. Now, the judge here, Engoron, is talking about his authority to overrule a jury should the jury find something.
Now, this is not a jury trial. This is not a jury trial,
but this does show his freedom, his state of mind. And listen to the very last thing he has to say. Listen to cut 8.
Juries get it wrong a lot. That's my own opinion. I've had situations where, like, oh, my heaven's sake, how could they have thought that? Well, I have a tool that I can deal with that. It's called judgment notwithstanding the verdict. I can say there is no possible way that a reasonable jury would have reached that conclusion. I'm following law, I'm an impartial referee, but it's hard to factor out my own emotions.
His own emotions. He can't factor them out, and his own emotions are orange man bad.
Yeah. Now, we did, we talked about this in our story meeting this morning. The Judge Engoron is technically correct that in very rare cases, a judge does have the authority to set aside a jury's verdict. That, as far as I know, happens rarely, because it is such a radical step. Your point was, this gives us insight into Judge Engoron's attitude of self-importance and his belief that his judgment really never fails. I mean, that's kind of what I heard, that he is always impartial. He knows the law, and so his view is always right.
Except he said that I'm always impartial, but it's hard for me to get past my impartiality.
Yes.
Yeah, he was the guy that was mugging for the camera the other day when the trial first started, and they panned the camera up to him. He literally mugged. He smiled and gave this silly look. He is having a ball.
Yeah.
He and Letitia James are cackling with glee, Kamala Harris type cackle, because they know that they're going to get Trump. It's
and
all
that's
about
what this is. That's
get
what this,
Trump. It has yeah. nothing to do with guilt or innocence. My opinion.
Yeah. Chris, this I think has been very frustrating mm-hmm. for the former president. He, Judge Engoron, has issued a gag order. Now, I will fault the former president for
right.
he did post something about the judge's clerk was a clerk mm-hmm. and she was in the courtroom.
Right.
I didn't think the president should have done that. He basically said that she was Chuck Schumer's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't think that that was necessary or the right thing to do from the former president. And as a result of that, Judge Engoron did issue a limited gag order,
right.
Banning the president from posting anything else about anyone in the courtroom on his staff. Is
yes.
that right? Do I have
yes.
that right?
And I've shared the link to that. It's a Politico article, but Fox has done this. I'm sure New York Post probably has something as well, maybe Newsmax. We'll see whether or not Trump follows through with this gag order. He does seem to follow his own rules. But I would think probably his attorneys will advise him to keep his mouth shut and stay away.
And it is a limited gag mm-hmm. order. He still can go out and has. This is how we have gotten some audio from the former president.
Correct.
Going
yes.
into court or coming out of court. He's going to, you know, tell people what he believes. We didn't talk about this in the story meeting, but so you may not have the answer to this question, Chris. But as far as you have been listening to the experts, what's the general consensus on how this, setting aside what Steve has brought up, which I think is pretty clear that Judge Engoron appears to be an anti-Trump judge. I don't expect that to change. Okay, what are some of the other experts saying in terms of just the facts that are put forth in this civil trial?
I can't like necessarily point you to one or two specific people that we might recognize from appearing on Fox or Newsmax
yeah.
or something of that sort, but I can tell you the general reaction from people on things like Twitter or X, certainly Truth Social, is that this latest case just appears to be another witch hunt out to get Trump based on the very public statements that Letitia James and other people have made about Trump for a long time now. Keep in mind, too, that this is like the umpteenth case against Trump for whatever it may be. So I think every time somebody throws out another accusation or an indictment out there, it adds to what the court of public opinion has already ruled. It is an effort to get Trump and to prevent him from being able to run in 2024.
Adds to his poll numbers, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It does. Nothing has hurt him thus far. Oftentimes,
right.
an indictment actually helps his numbers go up.
That's among the Republican base.
Yes.
I haven't seen any polls showing a demonstrable difference one way or the other amongst independents, for example, but maybe that's out there.
I'll look it up on
Well, we're still a ways away from... You know, it's just October. It's October 4th today. We have January is the first of the primary competitions
mm-hmm.
For the nominations for both Republicans and Democrats. They do have a slightly different order in the way those things
yes.
are going to be carried out. But January, that's what we're talking about. So we have three months or so.
I mean, if you were to look at Real Clear Politics and their compilation polls on the 2024 Republican presidential nomination, Trump is anywhere from 35 to as much as 52 points up on his Republican challengers.
Yeah, and that doesn't seem like that's going to change anytime.
And we're just in the first quarter. So at this point, they have their subs in.
The second string.
Second string is in. All right, who's got the next story?
Guess who's back in court? Jack Phillips. Mm-hmm. The Colorado cake artist is going to be before the Colorado Supreme Court.
Correct.
Because he refused to make a gender reveal. Transgender, a man who calls himself Autumn, contractor to try to get him to make a pink cake with a blue frosting to celebrate his gender transition. He refused, as you might imagine. And he was sued again.
In fact, this trans individual, I think, went into his cake shop the day of or the day after the Supreme Court ruled.
The day.
Clearly a setup.
The day of, and it's a lawyer. He's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Scardina is the last name.
Yeah. So he's going to be, this just never ends for this guy. This poor.
How long has this been going on for him? Does it 10 years?
Yeah.
His attorney, Jake Warner, yesterday told me 10 years.
Yeah.
So he's been fighting this. That we mentioned, I was just joking in our story meeting, that Jack Phillips, this is his second career. And he apparently made the decision somewhere along the line, I'm going to have my business, going to have my family, my church, and do whatever else I was going to do. But I am adding this as a career.
Yes.
I'm going to fight in Colorado to protect religious liberty, because a decade-long battle, and with no real signs of letting up.
Yeah, and for people that are not aware of the story, I think Steve has shared this before on this here program on AFR, but Steve is actually, Steve played a role in helping Jack lawyer up on the initial same-sex marriage case that went to the Supreme Court. And mind you, the Supreme Court never settled the case over the cake. They just said Colorado was mean to Jack, and therefore they ruled in his favor. I'm paraphrasing everything down, but Steve actually was the one who interviewed Jack early on, prior to your time here at AFN, right?
I was working at Family News and Focus, at Focus on the Family, and 10 years ago or so, I got a call from somebody who said they're protesting outside of a Christian bakery.
Yeah.
And so I went and interviewed Jack and did an article about it, and the, while he was telling me about this, it occurred to me, I said, do you have representation? He said, nope. I said, well, let me make a call. And I called who's the ADF now, Kristen, anyway.
Yeah, Wagoner.
Wagoner. Mm-hmm. I called her and set up a meeting, and the three of us sat down about a week later, and then they went from there. And sometimes what he's gone through, I feel a little guilty.
Oh.
I've started this whole
you
thing
did
him.
This!
But yeah, that was my little brief part in history. Man, this guy is a hero. He just will not give up.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of strength of character and will that he has demonstrated in this. So what is this latest part of this battle that he's fighting? He's now going back to the Colorado Supreme Court. Is that right?
That's correct. The lower courts, Colorado is cases stacked. They have draconian, very stringent, what they call non-discrimination laws, pro-LGBT laws.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that there are any number of bakeries of people who can make wedding cakes or transgender cakes in Denver, he has to make it. They're forcing him
to say no.
To say, well, they're forcing him. They want to force him to say, okay, gay. You know, they actually, someone came to him, wanted him to make a cake of a Satan smoking a marijuana cigarette.
And that was the same person that wants him to make the transgender reveal cake, according to his attorneys at Eddie.
They're out to get him.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, pray for Jack Phillips. Pray for a good decision in Colorado, because this is not just going to affect him. It's going to affect all the Christians, at least those who own businesses. And I should say, at least those who own businesses where there's some artistic input that is required. Obviously, if people are making, you know, Chick-fil-A sandwiches, I've never heard of a Christian saying, nah, I'm going to check. Tim always says, we're not going to check your sexual orientation credentials at the door and say, well, if you're gay, we're not going to serve you waffle fries.
Jack has been very clear. He's more than willing to sell anybody a cake that is already made.
Yeah. That was made known in the Supreme Court thing. The thing about Jack Phillips, the media always makes it out as if he's the only baker in a state of 5.8 million people making things in Colorado.
Right. All right. So pray for Jack Phillips and pray for that case, folks, because it is still ongoing.
All right. Let's talk about what's going on in Ohio. Ohio is doing a constitutional convention of sorts. They're voting on a new constitution, and they want to enshrine abortion as a right in this constitution. So as they are voting on this, 100 bipartisan Democrat and Republican black pastors in Ohio have signed a letter saying don't. Abortion does not belong in the Constitution. Pro-life black pastors, Democrats, Republicans speaking out for life in Ohio.
And that is, it's up in the air. Now, Ohio is usually a very pro-life state. It is a red state, but there is some question because of all the outside money that's pouring into that, all the pro-abortion money. There is some question about whether or not that vote will go against the unborn. I haven't seen any recent polls, but I've heard kind of the anecdotal evidence about how up in the air that is. Is that what you guys have heard in terms of
the cities there in Ohio tend to be the ones driving them to the left? Cleveland, Columbus, even Cincinnati has a very liberal bend to it on a lot of issues, including life, whereas the rest of the state is bright red on these issues.
So this is a good thing. A bipartisan group of 100 black pastors speaking out on this issue. I hope they are able to convince a lot of people to go to the polls and vote pro-life. Let's go from Ohio to Wisconsin.
Yes, Wisconsin, where I had some really good pizza one time in Kenosha, which is not far from where my mom grew up.
Pizza in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
They got good cheese.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Anyway, back to the story of which I distracted us from. Yesterday, there was a really big ruling from the Waukesha County Circuit Court there, a state court in Wisconsin. This is a long-running case brought by Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and Alliance Defending Freedom. They took Kettle Moraine School District to court because the school district, according to Will and ADF, violated parents' constitutional rights to raise their own children by allowing minor students to change gender identity at school without parental consent and even over their objection. And the update on this case is, thanks to the lawsuit brought by Will and Alliance Defending Freedom, a court ruled that the school district was in violation. I'm going to be talking with the attorney at Will later today. They're saying that they can take this to other courts around the country because a lot of school districts have been doing what Kettle Moraine School District was doing and was found in violation of.
Now, what does Will stand for again? Wisconsin, what?
Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty.
Okay. So this is a tremendous victory. Mm-hmm. It is Wisconsin, but as you pointed out, Chris, this is something that certainly parents who want to maintain control of what happens to their children when they're in school, this is something maybe they can replicate in other school districts. And hopefully it will survive legal challenges because these kinds of things will be challenged.
Yes. A lot of people will think, they still have say over their kids, but a number of school systems have said, hey, once your kid's on the schoolhouse grounds, we control them.
President of the United States has said that.
Your kids are our kids.
And Education Secretary Cardona has said that. And the teachers' unions in a lot of states have said the same thing. The kids belong to us. Mm-hmm. Secretary Cardona said that he gets tired of parents thinking they know what's best for their kids.
Right.
That's what he said.
Every time Joe Biden says your kids are our kids, I don't claim Hunter. He's not my child.
You certainly don't want to have to pay for his legal troubles.
No.
By the way, how much time do you need for your final story?
I think
Steve?
Give me 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Yeah. Well, then let's go ahead and go with that.
Because I want to make Chris happy. He's a good friend of mine and everything.
Yeah.
Chris is a Miami Dolphins fan, as you may or may not know.
I know that.
And his team, they took a pretty tough loss against Buffalo last Sunday. Their quarterback is Tua Tagovailoa. And did I do that right, Chris?
You got close. Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. He was an Alabama guy, so roll tide. Hi, Heather.
Dump that.
We have a 7-second delay.
Yeah.
He was at a press conference after the loss, and he was asked by somebody, how does his faith help support him in the middle of this loss? I want you to hear what he had to say, cut 11.
The best thing about being a believer of Jesus Christ to me is that good Lord up above doesn't care whether you win a game, whether you lose a game. Allowing me this platform, is the best thing in the world, to be able to profess my faith, something that I firmly believe in, something that's been foundationally instilled in me at a young age. And, when I'm out there, like, I even pray before I go out to series and whatnot. Like, I'm always praying, you know, like I'm on a sideline. Looks like I'm talking to myself. Having to remember scripture always keeps me encouraged in continuing to press forward, especially in times like this.
Nice.
It is refreshing to hear anyone testifying. I have two things I wanted to say about this. First of all, it is a breath of fresh air because we do get, especially here, we do get a steady stream of negative and anti-God sentiments that we have to do our jobs.
Washington Post to it.
Yes, that's right. The second thing I will say is I can remember, Steve, how old are you?
Old enough to remember. 63.
So we're in the same ballpark. I'm 65, but I can remember growing up loving football, loving base, loving all the sports, and having the time to watch mm-hmm. all these sports. I was not a Christian growing up. I didn't become a Christian until I was almost 20 years old. Okay, I never remember a single, maybe with the exception of Bobby Richardson. All right, but other than that, and that might have been after I became a Christian, I don't ever remember an athlete talking about their faith. Mm. There might have been Christians.
There was that John 3:16 sign up in the stands.
No, I didn't remember seeing that until really? After I became a Christian. Wow. I don't know when that started. But here's my point. It was only when our country started turning more secular that I began to see, or that our country began starting to kind of fall apart, that I began to hear and see Christian athletes talking about their faith. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to what Alex McFarland was saying. We do seem to be having, the church seems to be being forced to be more bold about their faith. I mean, now Chris, you don't probably remember a time when athletes didn't talk about their faith, right? I mean, you're a younger guy. You're
yeah.
in your 30s.
The first time I remember seeing the John 3:16 sign was I was watching a Bulls game on WGN, because back in the day, kids, we had this thing called cable. You didn't stream stuff over the internet. And thanks to WGN, we were exposed to things like Bulls games, Cubs games. The Braves were on WTBS
yes,
back in the day.
That's right.
5 minutes after the top of the hour. That was the first time I remember seeing that. What strikes me about the Tua story is oftentimes with NFL stories, we talk about the negatives.
Yeah.
The guys who were in the news for doing bad things. Tua here is doing the right thing, but that doesn't mean everybody in the league is doing what they should, and therefore you should just fall hook, line, and sinker. Pay real close attention to what they're saying. And in Tua's case, he actually mentions Jesus Christ. I appreciate that about him. A lot of times people talk about, you know, give thanks to God, and that's okay. But Jesus Christ is the next level. So kudos to Tua.
Sure is. All right, Tua, whatever his name is.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, folks, you've been listening to Today's Issues, and we are so glad you joined us. Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow. And guess what? There is more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Hope you tune in. Check out the podcast. Go to AFR.net. There's a podcast drop-down menu. You can check out the shows that you may have missed. Bye for now.